Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Dr. Michael Huth, he's a specialist neurologist from the Neurological Association of South Africa. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. How are you doing?
I'm good, but you know that I'm a hypochondriac. Now I'm panicking. Is my brain slower than it used to be because I use the internet too much?
Howard, I do know that from watching all your podcasts with Dr. Myberg. But I would say that you don't have to worry. And the reason is that I probably think it's more likely that your brain may be even quicker because you've been using the internet.
Okay, so explain to me how that works.
Well, I think that the effect of the internet on the brain is a very, very broad and wide discussion. And I think it's quite complex. But on a basic level, the concerns of the effect of social media, internet, and constant stimulation from different sources on the brain is that the brain will have less of an ability to maintain what we call attention. Attention basically means focus or concentration on one specific task at hand. And because we are so used to living in a world of multitasking, and our brains have actually become very much like our cell phones or our computers with lots of apps open all at once, all functioning at once, we've become these sort of multitasking individuals.
Almost machines, really.
Correct. Who really don't have the ability anymore to attend to one task with full focus and concentration for a prolonged period of time, like we used to be able to.
Mm.
Okay, so I mean, I don't know if while you're listening to me in this interview, you don't have your cell phone open and you're WhatsApping somebody, or you're checking what you're going to do next, or there's a computer in front of you and your producer is sending you messages. But that is the world we live in today.
Absolutely.
And really, I think that if you don't get your brain and your children's brains into this type of zone, it might be that you are disadvantaging them. So one has to understand that things are changing. They're changing quite rapidly. And we no longer live in the world we used to live in 20, 30 years ago where, you know, if you wanted to know something, you had to go to the library and open a book, or go to your bookshelf, to the encyclopedia, to World Book or something, or you had to wait till you ask somebody. We live in a world where information and knowledge is available to anybody at any time, anywhere. And, you know, that creates an incredible situation where you have lots of content, lots of knowledge, but you have to consume that information, that content, in small chunks, because you can't spend long times focusing on it before you're distracted. So you're going to be quickly distracted to the next item. So you're getting lots more information than you used to get, but you're getting it in smaller chunks, and you can't spend enough time on.
Does that mean it's almost like we're getting like these little bits of information, but so much more, rather than a limited amount of subjects, but where we go deeper into the subject?
100%, exactly right. So you're getting access to lots more information, which is a game changer. But then again, the brain's ability to go deeper into that and spend a long time might be diminished.
Right.
However, I do think that if something is very important to you, or something is very pertinent to you, that your brain will be able to focus for some amount of time. Mm. I actually think that because we are so bombarded by imagery, by clickbait, by stimulus, both visual, auditory, everything, verbal, that the kids of today probably will be better at kind of trying to select out what's important to them in the moment, compared to people like me and yourself. I mean, yesterday I just turned 45.
Ah, happy birthday.
I consider myself to be middle-aged. So middle-aged people like me, who didn't grow up with internet, social media, all these things flashing at us with a blue light,
right.
We easily distracted by anything that sort of is glittering and flashy, etc., etc. But the kids of today might be better.
Well,
and,
yes, well, that's
and
interesting.
Sort of sifting out the what's important, what's not.
Because Tzvi asking, what about young children while their brains are developing at the developmental stage? Surely, no, he's asking, must formal education adapt?
Ooh, great question, great point. That is so important. I think that the world has been, over the last 15, 20 years, advancing this area so quickly that most education systems have been completely unable to adapt. They are still set back in the old era, with old methods of teaching, with ways of teaching that don't apply to the world today. And there is a great need for a sort of complete overhaul of education system. It's going to be very exciting to see what kind of form that takes and what form of education system will be the one that is successful for the modern world. That's a great question.
Yeah, it is indeed. And Janine wants to know, does playing games online have a negative effect on the brain?
So let me, in answer to that question, let me bring up one of the negative aspects of social media and internet and games and all that, et cetera. And that is the effect on the hormones of the brain, or the what we call the neurotransmitters, in terms of reward behavior. Okay, so when somebody has a experience they perceive to be pleasurable to them, there's a release of a hormone called dopamine in the brain. This is the hormone that signals reward for the brain, and it drives behavior, meaning when it decreases, there's a strong desire to perform the behavior that increases the dopamine.
Right.
That may be gambling, it may be sex, it may be drugs, it may be anything.
Right.
And we know from studies that when they post on the internet and they see people liking their posts or commenting on their posts, or when they interact on the internet or they get WhatsApp beeping on their phone, there's a rush of dopamine reward. Okay? And because of that, there's a negative influence in that kids or even adults that have a need for this dopamine and a need for that type of stimulus are going to have to sort of continue that behavior, may become addicted to things like games, social media, etc. And, you know, it's very easy for all of us. I'm not saying this is not something that's uncommon. We all go through this at some degree. I mean, one must just have to think of yourself sitting wherever in bed or on the couch, you know, with your finger just scrolling now through social media, and before you know it, it's 45 minutes.
Absolutely.
And the time, you don't even know where the time
went. We have no idea.
And 100%
right.
And you could not take your eyes off that screen. And this doesn't have to be the fact that you're looking at funny people doing dances on TikTok or absolute nonsense. It can be intellectual stimuli. It can be things like articles on COVID or statistics on COVID or whatever it is. But you absolutely fixated on this blue light and you're scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and the brain doesn't want to stop. And, you know, that is unhealthy, unfortunately.
Absolutely. Very, very interesting. So should we be... What are the measures? What should we be doing?
Well, I think one has to understand that because of this whole dopamine reward system, when you don't get it, it leads to severe anxiety and depression. And that is a gateway to problems, psychological problems such as depression, anxiety, feelings of emptiness, you know, et cetera, worthlessness, self-esteem problems. And I think that one has to understand that there are psychological and physical negative influences of the internet. The psychological would be that either you are involved with too much of this dopamine rush, or you may be involved in a negative type of voyeurism, thinking that everybody on Facebook or LinkedIn is doing better in life and better in business than you.
Absolutely.
And if everyone else is doing better in business and in life than you, then you have a negative self-esteem, a negative self-worth, depression, anxiety sets in. So that's the psychological aspect. The physical aspect is every time you see a disturbing video, you see a disturbing article about someone you don't like, maybe you don't like Donald Trump, you don't like Joe Biden, you see a Joe Biden article, you don't like it, it bothers you, gets you a little bit worked up. So that's another physical problem. The other thing is the blue light and the stimulus, the constant stimulus of all these pictures and videos, etc. It really stimulates you at the wrong time of the day, in the evening when you're supposed to be settling down and getting ready for bed, so it disturbs your sleep. You can't sleep, you can't switch off properly. That affects your immune system, that affects your sleep quality, which will affect your weight control, your cardiovascular risk, your respiratory risk. So there's a lot of problems with how you manage the internet. And I think people have to understand that it all comes down to a lot of time management and content management. Try to control what you see and what you expose yourself to, and try to control when you expose yourself to that.
Yeah, and I would add further, whether you're Jewish or not Jewish, observant or not, take 24 hours off the internet. Just take 24 hours and make sure during that time you read books. You just take your, just take yourself away from it. I think that is a lifesaver.
Yes, 100% agree.